Good morning, and welcome to the April 17th edition of the Piatt County Journal Republican. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Of course, the news starts today with the fact that Legionnaire's disease, Legionella, has been found at the Piatt County Nursing Home. This article by Will Simmons and Heather Robinson to WCIA. Administrators are doing all they can to bring life back to normal for residents at the Piatt County Nursing Home after Legionella was found in the water system. Last week, one nursing home resident died because of Legionnaire's disease, and now the State Department of Public Health has the official test results back with the nursing home testing positive for Legionella. Executive Director Scott Porter shared that there were no signs the water system harbored bacteria before two residents tested positive, but after results, it was more than likely that the water would test positive. This result's not that surprising to us, said Porter, but basically our entire hot water system is compromised with it at this point. One person died as a result of the Legionnaire's disease, while another was exposed to the bacteria but showed no signs of illness. Porter added that we've installed point-of-contact filters that are approved basically by our water consultants with whom we're working. We hope to have every point of contact fixed. So, Porter added that the 50-year-old building was outfitted with filters on many water fixtures last week. Those that weren't updated have not been used since. Residents have been using bottled water for drinking. Porter explained that the shower rooms are running, the kitchens are running, any place that we would need hot water, Porter said, it's available. But the residence rooms, unfortunately, we have to use wash basins that are disinfected three times a day for them to be able to wash their hands. To that end, filters have been installed in the residence rooms, and the home hopes to have safe hot water running to the rooms shortly. There have been no new cases of Legionnaire's disease. The Illinois Department of Public Health recommends testing only for those patients showing respiratory symptoms, but families can also request them for their loved ones, something Porter had to consider since his own father is a resident. You think about that. Do you want them tested? For my family, we decided to follow the guidance of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Porter said. He spoke with the person's family who died of Legionnaire's disease, and he said it is something he wishes he could have seen coming. That's the kind of thing that if anybody else has an organization like ours, consider testing anyway, Porter said. You don't want to go through this. You don't want to learn that you have an issue because there has been a death. Also on today's front page, we learn that the Monticello City Council has abandoned its plans to buy the original Iwo Jima flag-raising monument. This article by Nora Mayberry. The Monticello City Council had plans to purchase the original Iwo Jima flag-raising monument, which city officials hoped to make the centerpiece of the new Freedom Park for a cost of a little over $1 million. The council was presented with a letter of intent to purchase the statue. The letter of intent, however, was not binding, but rather it was an expression of intent for the parties to work in good faith towards a possible future agreement concerning the purchase of the property, said City Administrator Terry Summers. Council members then discussed how residents in their wards have expressed displeasure with the project. The council members said all of the feedback they have had from the public has been negative, and residents have expressed a desire for the city to focus on infrastructure projects instead of purchasing the statue. They also discussed obtaining insurance for transporting the statue and discussed how that may prevent the city from moving forward with the project. Mayor Larry Stoner thought approving the letter of intent to purchase the statue would allow the board more time to discuss the issue. The motion to approve the letter of intent failed, with Alderman Andrea Lively, Cole Carey, Tom Percy, Tom Reed, Eric Broderick, and Wendell Brock all voting no. Stoner said the letter of intent failing didn't mean the city wasn't committed to Freedom Park itself. The park is still viable, Stoner said. We just won't have a $1 million statue as its centerpiece. The council had spent time at the past two board meetings discussing the park. During the March 25th meeting, the council discussed feedback they had received regarding the costs of the parks. Summers told the council he went back to the drawing board regarding Freedom Park after discussion at previous meetings. The council has approved a budget that includes $6.7 million for the two parks. Summers said with redesigned elements, he feels the project can be done at or below budget. The revised project would have included fewer parking spaces, a shorter walking path, and the city's Public Works Department doing more of the work than originally planned. During the March 25th meeting, that same meeting, Brock told the council that he had gotten three phone calls about Freedom Park. All three calls were from individuals concerned about the price tag, stating that this is money that could be spent on infrastructure. Summers said he had heard from some people as well and emphasized that we are not depleting business district or TIF funds, and since 2017, we have spent over $5 million on street projects. Alderman Rodney Burris emphasized that the past should be honored and not forgotten, and Alderman Michael Kuhn pointed out that the city would see returns on this investment. During the March 11th meeting, Summers told the council that some of the statue was not all plaster and was actually plaster of Paris, which does not do well in an outdoor climate. Because of this, the statue would need to have an indoor placement. Glass enclosures for the statue would cost between $1.8 and $2.4 million. Summers also revealed that design engineers did a soil boring test, which identified a large amount of fill on the southern portion of the site designated for the statue. The statue, which weighs approximately 5 tons, cannot sit on top of that area as planned. The engineers recommended relocating the statue closer to Market Street. Summer said that construction, starting in September for the park, was unlikely due to the issues with the statue. During the March 11th meeting, council members discussed the price of the enclosure and the cost of maintenance of the enclosure, how changing the placement of the statue will affect the project, and the initial project cost compared with the current estimated cost. Brock said the project could easily become a thorn in the side of the city, as money is added at every turn to the project. Today's front page also includes news about a bridge being replaced on I-72, this article by Nora Mayberry. In that effort, Bridge Street will be reduced to one lane in each direction from now until December. The Illinois Department of Transportation announced that replacement of the Bridge Street Bridge over Interstate 72 in Monticello is now underway. The project includes removal of the existing bridge, driving new pilings, erecting steel beams, pouring concrete, and other work. The project will require full nighttime closures of I-72 and will reduce Bridge Street to one lane in each direction until December. IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, said that motorists can expect delays and should allow extra time for trips through this area. IDOT recommends motorists avoid the work area and use alternate routes whenever possible. Drivers are urged to pay close attention to changing conditions and signs in and around the work zones, to obey the posted speed limits, refrain from using mobile devices, and be alert for workers and equipment. Over the next 6 years, IDOT is planning to improve more than 3,000 miles of highway and nearly 10 million square feet of bridge decks as part of the Rebuild Illinois program, which is investing $33.2 billion into all modes of transportation. Accomplishments through year 4 of the Rebuild Illinois program included approximately $12.1 million of improvements statewide. Accomplishments through year 4 of Rebuild Illinois included approximately $12.1 billion of improvements statewide on over 5,000 miles of highway, over 500 bridges, and 762 additional safety improvements. Also on today's front page, we learn that Jamie Tribaum is leaving Monticello for a job with the Illinois Department of Transportation. This article also by Nora Mayberry. Jamie Tribaum is leaving Piatran. Tribaum's resignation was effective April 12th. Jamie Tribaum has served as Piatran director since November of 2018, leading the organization through various budget challenges as well as the COVID-19 pandemic. Her resignation letter said she has been offered an incredible opportunity with IDOT as Bureau Chief of Transit Compliance. "This is an opportunity," she said, "that I simply can't pass up. It allows me to still stay connected to the transit industry," she said. "Throughout my almost 7 years with Piatran, I have seen some ups and downs, but this job has taught me that I do have a passion for transportation. I have learned to deal with many situations beyond my control and have gained valuable skills that I will carry with me into this new opportunity." The position with IDOT is a work-from-home position, and Tribaum suggested a transition period where she could work out of the Piatran office and assist with the transition for a set period of time. "I sincerely appreciate this opportunity I have been given and the unwavering support I have received from so many of the Piatt County Board members," Tribaum said. "I hope Piatran continues on the trajectory it is on and truly becomes everything I know that it can be." We wish Jamie Tribaum the best of luck in her new position. This week's pet of the week is Mushroom, who is called the sweetest kitty, and indeed, he's a gorgeous black and white, handsome cat. He's great with other cats and kittens and loves to share her cuddles. Mushroom can be adopted from the Piatt County Animal Shelter, and you can go see her and meet her and other adoptable pets by calling the shelter at 217-762-7227 to come see the animals. You can also email the shelter at piattanimals@hotmail.com. This week's community notes are numerous. Let's start with the City of Monticello, which is seeking volunteer firefighters. The City of Monticello Fire and Rescue Department volunteer firefighters and emergency medical technicians, EMTs, undergo extensive professional training as volunteers serving their community. Interested persons may complete an application and return it to the Municipal Building in Monticello at 210 North Hamilton. Applications can also be found online at the City of Monticello's website, which is simply cityofmonticello, all one word, .net/document center, and you'll find the applications to become a volunteer fire and rescue an emergency medical technician. Next, we learn that the Community Works Grant application portal is now opening. The Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, which is called HICF, is accepting applications from area nonprofit organizations seeking grants from the Community Works Fund. In 2024, Community Works will award $400,000 in grants due to the $1 million grant funding collaboration moving forward between the HICF, the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, and the Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union. Minimum grants per organization are $10,000, up to a maximum grant of $100,000. The deadline to apply is May 7th. Recipients will be announced on June 11th at 8:05 a.m. on Byers and Company. Community Works grants will be awarded to not-for-profit organizations and schools serving Macon, Piatt, and Moultrie counties, as well as Paris, Illinois. The purpose of the grants is to support programs and projects that focus on education, workforce development, and environmental sustainability. More details and applications are available at the Heart of Illinois Foundation website, which is simply heartofillinois, all one word, .org/movingforward. Once again, that's simply heartofillinois.org/movingforward. Next up in our community news is that the Monticello Mercantile is going to hold a boutique bash and market on Maine. A little spring with a little Cinco de Mayo. It just so happens that the annual spring bash this year falls on Cinco de Mayo, and Monticello Mercantile couldn't be more excited to celebrate. They're welcoming Burrito King for some Mexican fare. Margaritas will be available for purchase from the Main Street Pub, and of course they will have their usual mix of vendors on the market on Main and live music from local bands for you to enjoy. The event will take place on May 5th from 1 to 4 p.m. All vendors are welcome, but priority will be given to those who are unique in nature. Vendor spaces will be available for $25 each for a 12 by 12 foot area. Vendor fees will be invoiced upon acceptance of their application. Vendor fees are non-refundable, and vendors are responsible for bringing their own setup, including tables, chairs, loading and unloading, and smiling faces. Street setups will not have electricity. For more information and for applications and more info, you can visit Monticello Mercantile's Facebook page, which is simply facebook.com/Monticello-Mercantile. Next up, we learn that the Railway Museum is going to host a Mother's Day celebration. Looking for a fun way to celebrate Mom? Join the museum on May 11th for the Mother's Day Weekend Dinner Train for a unique experience on the train. You can choose to ride in a historic dining car or enjoy an exclusive experience on board our private car. Guests can choose from delicious filet medallions, grilled chicken, or pasta primavera. For tickets and more information, visit the Railway Museum's website, which is simply MRYM, Monticello Railway, YM.org, for a complete list of activities. Monticello High School is hosting a show choir camp event for young performers in grades kindergarten through eighth grade. It's called Showstoppers, and it's the premier song and dance camp for young performers. In this high-impact experience, students discover new skills, audition tips, and vocal techniques to become a stronger performer. Performers learn new songs and choreography, and they put on a show with props, microphones, solos, and more. All schools are welcome, and no experience is necessary. This event is a fundraiser for the host, Monticello High School's Music Boosters. The Monticello High School Summer Show Choir Camp will be on June 24th through the 28th. All schools are welcome, and they will students from grades kindergarten through eighth grade will be organized into three different age groups. For details, go to the Showstoppers website, which is simply showstoppersjt.com. Again, the camp will run from June 24th through the 28th at Monticello High School. Next up, you're invited to sharpen your gardening skills with University of Illinois Extension Master Gardeners. Prepare for the gardening season with free workshops covering garden tool maintenance, herb gardens, and growing tomatoes at Outreach in Farmer City. Sharpen and Grow, a garden workshop series, will be presented by the U of I Extension Master Gardeners from DeWitt and Piatt County. Sharpen and Grow workshops will be held from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Outreach headquarters at 701 East Clinton Avenue in Farmer City. Master Gardener volunteers will lead the workshops, which are free and open to the public. The Herb Garden workshops will be on April 11th, and the Growing Great Tomatoes workshop will be on May 28th. You can register to attend each of these workshops at go.illinois.edu/sharpenandgrow. Registration deadline is one day before each of the programs. The Ecumenical Piatt County Food Pantry is looking for donations of fruit drinks, coffee, noodles, macaroni, stew, chili, raisin bran, and paper towels. The next food pantry will be open on April 27th from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at 2020 East Washington Street in Monticello. The city also notes that curbside brush pickup is for residences located within the city limits is free of charge. Pickups will take place on or around the first Tuesday of every month from April through October. Today's paper includes one obituary honoring Mary Khaki Heidkamp, age 76, of Monticello, formerly of Cisco, who passed away on Saturday, April 6th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A funeral mass was held on April 12th at St. Philomena Catholic Church in Monticello, followed by interment at the Kroniger Cemetery in Cisco, and followed by a celebration of life at the Monticello Golf Club. And now some news on prep sports. Monticello High School is well into the softball season, and the Sages carried an 11-9 record into one of the most recent home non-conference games against Westville. That team boasts Northern Kentucky signee Abby Sobolewski as one of the top pitchers in our area this spring, with a winning record despite losing two out of three games. They included an 11-4 loss against Unity, and a 2-1 home non-conference loss to Chatham Glenwood. The Sages, however, went on to defeat Clinton 5-1 last Wednesday in another non-conference home game. Next up, we have some great news for the Monticello baseball team. This article by Matt Daniels. A month into the baseball season, the Monticello baseball team has yet to lose a single game. Impressive, to say the least. The latest victory by the Sages happened in dramatic fashion, with Monticello rallying from a sizable deficit to defeat Williamsville 7-6 in a home non-conference game. This brought Monticello's season record to 19-0 on the season, heading into another home non-conference game against Maroa Forsyth. And then another non-conference home game against Salt Fork. Before this recent one-run win against the Bullets, the Sages cruised to 3 victories in 1 week, winning 12-1 in 6 innings last Thursday at Unity in an Illini Prairie Conference game, defeating Mattoon 9-2 in a home non-conference game on April 9th, and cruising past St. Thomas More 10-0 in 6 innings during an Illini Prairie home game on April 8th. Coy Williams and Brody Beledo starred for Monticello in its win against Williamsville, which saw the Bullets score 6 runs in the top of the second inning to take a 6-0 lead over Monticello before the Sages responded by scoring 6 runs in the bottom of the second inning to tie the game at 6-6. The score remained that way until the bottom of the fifth, when Monticello took the lead for good at 7-6. Williams went 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs, all coming on a grand slam in the second inning. Beledo picked up the win with 4 innings of dominant relief, not allowing a single run and only giving up 1 hit. He struck out 7 and walked 2 players. Eli Kraft added a solo home run, while Raiden Colbert was 2-for-2 with a run scored. Luke Teschke was 2-for-4, and Dylan Brown was 2-for-3 with a run scored. Monticello jumped on Unity early to improve to 4-0 in Illini Prairie play this season, leading 3-0 after the top of the first inning and making it 5-0 after 2 innings in Tolono. A 2-run fifth inning increased its lead to 7-0, and the Sages then poured it on with 5 runs in the top of the sixth inning to make the score 12-0. Ike Young threw all 6 seasons for Monticello in the win, limiting the Unity Rockets to only 1 run on 4 hits. He only issued 1 walk and kept Unity off balance throughout the entire game by striking out 9 players. Williams was again a catalyst offensively, going 3-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBIs. Jacob Long was 2-for-4 with an RBI, and Matt Swartz also chipped in offensively by going 2-for-5 with 2 RBIs. Monticello never trailed in its win against Mattoon, scoring 3 runs in the bottom of the first inning to stake itself to a 3-0 lead against the Green Wave of Mattoon. After Mattoon trimmed its deficit to 3-1 in the top of the third inning, Monticello answered with 2 runs in the bottom of the third and 2 more in the fourth to hold a convincing 7-1 lead. Williams went 2-for-3 with a home run and 3 RBIs to pace the Sages, while Teschke hit a solo home run and Swartz was 2-for-3 with 2 runs scored. This exciting news concludes the readings of the April 17th edition of the Piatt County Journal-Republican. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.